Proverbs 25:28 is a verse of scripture that I've been looking at for about 2 weeks. I got it in the old crock pot. It's been marinating. Been thinking a lot about it. Been trying to really think through how it applies to my life. This is what it says. Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. You see, back in the day, cities lived or died based on one thing, their walls. No walls meant no protection, no defense, no safety, no future. And God is saying here in Proverbs 25:28 that a man's life is the exact same way. A man without self-control has no walls. That means he's wide open, exposed, vulnerable, weak, already defeated before the enemy even shows up. So in this episode, I'm going to show you what happens when a man builds his walls, brick by brick, and what happens when he doesn't. And my brothers, this ain't pop psychology. This ain't philosophy. This is some deep biblical truth the Grizz has been marinating on with some real life application. This verse of scripture reveals the reason why one man's life falls apart and why another man goes the distance and finishes the climb. So really lean in, because what we're about to unpack on this episode can change the entire trajectory of your life if you take heed. So here we go.
Yeah, y'all know what time it is. You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, Jason George.
Get him, Jay.
Yo, yo, what is going down, all my brothers from other mothers around the world? Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in and listen to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Thursday, December 4th, 2025, when I'm recording this. And as usual, I'm here in the Grizz Cave with my dog, Ike. He's doing his thing. He's up here looking at me. He needs a pet. Come here, buddy. He's a good boy. Did you guys know that there are over 4.5 million podcasts in existence right now? I'm not kidding. 4.5 million. That is crazy, right? So the fact that you choose to tune in and listen to my podcast, man, I am grateful, seriously, because there's a lot of good ones out there. And I recently received an email that honestly took me by surprise. The Grizz Podcast was selected by a company called Million Podcast as one of the top 100 Christian men podcasts on the web. It said we ranked number 21. Not only that, we also made their list of the top 60 porn addiction podcasts, coming in at number 23. That's pretty cool. I don't know who the heck they are. I don't know if that's legit, but hey, man, made me feel good for a little bit. Also, recently received an email from a listener named David that I found deeply encouraging. He gave me permission to share this. This is what he writes. Good morning, Jason. My name is David. Just wanted to reach out to you and say thank you for all the hard work, sweat, hours, dedication, love, and effort you put into the Grizz Podcast. I'm sure you've heard similar stories to mine before. I was exposed to pornography at a young age. I knew it was wrong, but the thrill, the dopamine rush, and excitement quickly turned into an addiction that followed me all through my teenage years, into young adulthood, into marriage, into fatherhood. A year back or so, somewhere around there, a friend of mine from my men's small group at my church recommended your podcast. I downloaded every episode available, and I'm just about caught up to the current episode. Before I started listening, I was struggling with my secret porn addiction. I didn't even realize it was an addiction until I started listening. Your episode where you listed out all the reasons why you hate porn was just the kick in the pants I needed to finally say enough And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can say I've been porn free for months now. Anyway, just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for keeping it real and not sugarcoating the underlying issues and problems with porn and porn addiction. You speak the truth. Don't ever stop. He goes on. He says, I heard you like coffee. That's an understatement. So I just made a donation through your website to your ministry for $45. Please use some of it to buy a bag of Singing Rooster coffee. He says, this is by far the best coffee I've ever had. No joke. They support local Haitian farmers and community, so it does go to a good cause. He says, let me know what you think of the coffee. And once again, thanks for publishing your podcast. It means more to me than words can ever express. David. I emailed him back. He emailed me back. I emailed him back again. But David, I've already told you this, but I'm saying publicly here on the podcast, my brother, thank you. Seriously. That email came on a day when I needed some encouragement to stay the course with this podcast. It hit right when I needed it to hit. That's how God works so many times in my life. And also, thank you, David, for supporting our nonprofit ministry with that gift of $45. We need that. Guys, listen to me. All you guys that listen week after week, you've been listening for years. We wouldn't exist without the financial support of listeners just like you. We need that. And also, David, I did order a bag of the Singing Rooster coffee. It hasn't arrived yet, but I'm looking forward to enjoying that first cup, and I'll be singing like a rooster. Anyway, today we're going to unpack a verse of scripture that, man, every Christian man needs tattooed on his heart. I'm tattooing it on my heart. Like, it's written down on a 3x5 card. Been taking it with me when I'm driving in the truck, just going over it again and again. It's a simple verse. It's a short verse, but it's profound. And it's devastatingly true. I mean, I have seen the truth of this verse play out in my life and in the lives of just countless other Christian men that I've worked with over the years. Proverbs 25:28, this is how the ESV words it. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Are you getting the weight of what is being said here in this verse? I mean, it hits hard. It's a sobering warning, because this really isn't about ancient cities. This is about you. It's about today, right now. It's about how you control you. How you control your mind, your purity, your desires, your emotions, your words, your habits, your money, your devices, your scrolling, your eating, your drinking, your future, all of it. And today, I'm going to share with you what's helped me and what's still helping me grow in self-control. Listen, dude, I am far from perfect. I don't exude self-control every moment of every day. Are you kidding me? I got plenty of areas that need tightening up. But I know this for sure about Jason George. I've made some major progress with self-control from where I was 10 years ago, and especially from where I was 20 years ago. It's been a heck of a journey. It's up and down, you know what I'm saying? And here's what I've discovered in my own journey with Christ. Self-control isn't something you white-knuckle your way into. It's not about willpower. It's not about just try harder. Listen to me, my brothers. Self-control is, first of all, something you pray for. And then it's something you train for. And it's also something the Spirit of God produces in us. After all, self-control is actually one of the fruits of the Spirit. Remember Galatians chapter 5? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to really unpack Proverbs 25:28, and we're going to look at the true meaning of it. And we're also going to talk practical ways to build self-control into your life. I'll be right back. I'm going to go grab a warm-up on my coffee, and then we shall rip into the meat of this week's episode. Hey guys, if you or someone you know struggles with pornography, know this: freedom is possible. You don't have to stay stuck in cycles of guilt or isolation. Real change starts with the courage to take one honest step forward. Covenant Eyes has helped hundreds of thousands of people find lasting freedom through the power of accountability and community. It's not about restriction, it's about transformation. Here's how it works. Covenant Eyes monitors your device activity. I'm talking your phone, your tablet, your laptop. And number two, it shares activity reports with a trusted accountability partner. It'll email them. Number three, you grow in honesty, connection, and self-control. When you're not alone in this fight, dude, you can finally experience true healing and peace. Go to CovenantEyes.com, and when you sign up, use my code GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN, to start your free 30-day trial today. You don't have to fight this alone. Hope and freedom are just one step away. Now let's get back to the show. All right, so what does Proverbs 25:28 really mean for us as Christian men? The verse says, again, a man without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. In ancient times, if your city didn't have walls, dude, you were doomed. No protection, no defenses, no boundaries, no watchmen, no alarms, no safety. Anybody could get in. Thieves, spies, dangerous animals, enemy armies. And if the walls were broken, the city was already compromised. The enemy had already been there, already done damage, already attacked the people. In this verse, God is saying, my son, that's what your life is like without self-control. It's wide open. It's undefended. It's easily invaded, easily manipulated, easily destroyed. And let's be real, guys. A lot of men in the church today look exactly like that. No defenses, no protection, no boundaries, no structure, no accountability, no spiritual routine, no discipline, no self-control. They're led by their selfish desires, impulses, thoughts, and emotions. And that's exactly the point of this proverb. Self-control is what protects your life. Not talent, not knowledge, not your degrees, not your position, not your titles, not your bank account, not your 401k. None of that can guard you. None of that can keep you standing strong. None of that can protect what matters most if you don't have self-control. In the original language of the New Testament, the word self-control is the word, I'm going to mess this up, egkratia. Anyway, it means inner strength, dominion over oneself, the mastery of passions and appetites. Guys, here's my definition. Self-control is the spirit-empowered ability to govern your desires, emotions, and impulses instead of being ruled by them. Practically speaking, self-control comes down to choosing long-term good over short-term gratification. It's the disciplined practice of saying no to the things that weaken you and yes to the things that strengthen you. Let me tell you a story. This is a parable I call the City of Everwind. There were two cities on opposite sides of a great river. The first one was Everwind. Everwind was beautiful and thriving. Tall buildings, busy markets, beautiful landscaping and gardens, plentiful herds of livestock, the best schools, all the top scholars lived there. It was where most people wanted to live. But there was one problem. Everwind had no walls. The leaders of the city kept saying things like, "We'll build them someday. It's not that urgent. We're too busy with more important matters. We're strong enough without them. Do we really need them in our day and age? Walls." But the enemy was watching and waiting for opportunities to steal, to kill, to destroy. Night after night, it began with thieves slipping in, stealing valuables and disappearing. Then came wild animals, tearing up the gardens and killing the livestock. Then one night, it finally happened. A rival army of evil savages attacked. They walked right in, killed the men, raped the women, kidnapped the children to be their slaves, and stole all the riches and livestock they could bring back, and then burned the city to the ground. The city of Everwyn was destroyed. Why? Because it wasn't prepared. Because it didn't have walls to protect it. Now let me tell you about another city across the Great River. The city of Stonewatch. Stonewatch was a smaller city, less flashy, simple, common folk, the blue-collar guys. Not as impressive as Everwyn. But the king, King Grisante, King Grisante was a wise king. Every morning he had his men building the city walls, brick by brick, day after day, week after week, year after year, raising towers along the corners of the walls, setting watchmen, positioning soldiers and weapons all along the top of the wall. Many people mocked them, especially those who once lived in Everwyn. They'd say things like, "What a waste of time, energy, and money. The town money could be used on far better things. Why so much caution? Why so much protection?" They'd roll their eyes and mock the poor, common folk of Stonewatch. But King Grisante, a seasoned old warrior who walked with a limp from years of battle, ignored the ridicule, for he knew that in due time, the enemy would try to attack and destroy Stonewatch. And sure enough, one night, that same evil army that destroyed Everwyn marched towards Stonewatch, ready to steal, kill, and destroy. But in the distance, the evil army saw a massive wall surrounding Stonewatch, 30 feet high and 15 feet thick, baby. They knew it would be a challenge to penetrate or scale those massive walls. From the towers of the city walls, the watchmen of Stonewatch spotted the enemy miles away and readied the soldiers along the wall. And as the enemy drew near, before they even realized they'd been seen, a massive cloud of flaming arrows and fireballs from catapults rained down upon the evil army, killing all of them. The attackers never reached the interior of Stonewatch. Heck, they never even reached the exterior walls. All the while, the families of Stonewatch slept peacefully in their beds that night and never even knew of the attack until the next day. The evil enemy died outside the walls of that city because Stonewatch was ready. Stonewatch put in the work and built the walls, and it remained safe and prosperous. Everwyn was destroyed. Two cities, same enemy, different outcome. The difference? Self-control. Self-control, my brothers. One built walls, one didn't. One took discipline seriously, one procrastinated. One got to work, one made excuses. One lived with vigilance, one lived with ease. Self-control, my brothers. A man without it is like a city with broken down walls. The great preacher and theologian J.C. Ryle, I love this guy, I quote him all the time, said the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his self-control. Who cares if you can control animals or great naval ships or an aircraft or you can control your employees? Wow. Can you control yourself? My brothers, if we don't learn to master ourselves, we will be mastered by someone or something. You have to build the walls of self-control to protect your life. Every single morning, day after day, after day, after day, no days off. Do hard things. Put in the work. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Now, how does a man become slow to anger? How does a man like come to rule his spirit? He develops self-control. He develops self-control. No man is born with it, guys. It must be developed. You pray for it. You train for it, and you allow the Holy Spirit to form it in you as you walk close to God. I'll show you some practical ways in a few minutes, but know this. Man, there's nothing glamorous about this process of becoming a man with self-control. It's a grind. Gritty, mundane, agonizing, repetitive. It can be boring at times. It's a lot of work behind the scenes where no one is watching. It's just you and God. And you keep showing up day after day and building the wall. Blood, sweat, tears, brick by brick. And sure, guys, like sometimes you fall, you fail, but you get up, you own it, confess it, learn from it, and keep building your walls. There's a quote I love. I believe it comes from Churchill. It says, "Success is often nothing more than moving from one failure to the next with undiminished enthusiasm." The point is, you never give up. You must never give up. You keep building the wall of self-control, brick by brick, day after day. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A righteous person falls seven times and rises again." Oh, I thought if you're righteous, you don't fall. A righteous person falls seven times and rises again. Get up and keep building the wall. Never quit is the mentality that you must adopt as a Christian man. Now back to our main verse of scripture, Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Without self-control, the enemy doesn't need to break your walls down because you don't have any. With self-control, your life becomes a fortress. It protects you. You become a great warrior. You become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So here's the big question that I know you really want answered. So do I. How does a Christian man actually develop self-control? Number one, he prays for it and learns to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is so neglected in the Christian life. Hang on, what is my dog doing? Hey, nobody wants to hear you moaning in the background. Stop. All right. Guys, you must become a man of prayer, continual prayer, staying in constant fellowship with God. I'm working at that. Pray without ceasing, right? Needs to be like breathing. You pray about everything. You pray constantly. You're just constantly talking to God. From the moment you wake up to even going to bed, you wake up in the middle of the night, start praying, talk to Him. Many times we spend more time scrolling than we do praying and reading Scripture. And honestly, it's pathetic. I've done it as well. Also, as I mentioned earlier, self-control is literally a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. You don't produce it on your own. You cultivate it with God. It's a tag team effort. You have to walk close with God, and that takes work. You have to be in prayer often. I'm not talking about just long, drawn-out prayers. A lot of my prayers are just short prayers, just saying things to God throughout my day. You pray for self-control. Spirit of God, strengthen me. Spirit of God, guard my mind. Spirit of God, give me the power to walk away from that. Spirit of God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Jesus told His disciples to pray that. How often do you pray that? You should be praying that every day. And at the end of the armor of God passage in Ephesians 6, remember that whole passage is about the reality of spiritual warfare. After Paul tells us all the ways to armor up against the spiritual forces of darkness, what does he then tell us to do? Pray. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. Guys, if you try to beat sin in your own strength, the enemy will laugh in your face. It reminds me of a great quote by C.S. Lewis. They're all great by C.S. Lewis, from his book, Mere Christianity. No man knows how bad he is until he's tried very hard to be good. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside of us until we try to fight it. You can't do it on your own, guys. You got to pray and learn to walk in step with the Holy Spirit to become a man of self-control. How else does a Christian man develop self-control? Number two, he practices small daily disciplines. The little things matter to him. Self-control is built through having daily structure and disciplines. You got to put in the reps and keep putting them in. For me, I'll tell you what that looks like. Oh, great. My dog just walked in. He's pulling my laundry out. That's his way of like, look, I need attention. I have like your t-shirt in my mouth. Anyway, I get up early, guys, and I meet with God. Are there days I sleep in? Absolutely. I'm normal. But the routine is the norm. Get up early, meet with God. I stick to my morning routine. For me, that's scripture, prayer, journaling, checking in with my accountability partner daily through text messaging, reviewing my motivations for personal purity. I then make my bed every morning. I clean up. I organize my home, my workspace. I go work out a minimum of 3 times a week. I shoot for 5, but it doesn't always happen with my health issues and my work schedule or life. Excuse me. And guys, you also got to train yourself to finish what you start, even the small things. Finish what you start. You start a book, you finish reading it. You start a puzzle. I just started a puzzle recently. Finish the puzzle. Classes that you take. I'm taking a class for grad school right now, working towards my counseling degree. Content I write for the podcast. Dude, you finish it. You get it done. For me, I'm still working on climb teams, growing them, improving them. I'm gathering materials for a men's devotional book. You got to finish. Train yourself to finish what you start. I don't care what it is. A lot of things take me longer than most guys, and I've just learned to be okay with that. You guys know I love grizzly bears, obviously. Like, that's my main animal. That's my spirit animal. I also love dinosaurs. But you know what? Like, I think my second favorite animal is? Dude, I love turtles. You know why? Because they remind me of me. More than a grizzly bear reminds me of me. Like, a grizzly bear is like what I'd like to be like, but a turtle reminds me of me in many ways. So I've got a couple like little turtle statues around my house. Don't worry, I don't worship them, but they're just reminders. They remind me of me, slow and steady, but they keep going. They never quit, and they got a tough shell on their back to take the hits that keep coming at them. Guys, I want to encourage you, put your phone down. Stop all the scrolling. Get to work on what matters. Finish the things you start. Build your wall of self-control. Small disciplines turn into small habits, and that produces big strength and big results, big rewards in due time. You're building the wall. Don't stop. Stick with it. The scriptures command us, do not grow weary in well-doing. Building the wall is well-doing. Don't grow weary in it. Practice small disciplines. Do hard things. How else does a Christian man develop self-control? Number three, he sets up guardrails. Here are some practical things you can do to set up guardrails. This is part of building the walls of self-control, setting up guardrails. I mentioned earlier, man, install Covenant Eyes to monitor all your devices. Be accountable online. And then lock your phone down with a password you don't know so you can't delete the Covenant Eyes app, or what's the point of having it? Delete the apps and the social media stuff that causes you to stumble. Delete it. Get rid of it. If it causes you to stumble, get rid of it. Delete online accounts that tempt you. Unsubscribe to certain channels or networks that tempt you. Block certain websites. You can contact Covenant Eyes and tell them what websites you want on your block list. I know guys who have also gotten rid of game systems. One guy recently mailed me his game system and was like, Jason, hang on to it. I don't need this in my life right now. Stop listening to garbage music that brings you down. Avoid environments and people where you've fallen in the past. Single guys, here's a good guardrail. Don't date females who are not serious about their walk with God and personal purity. Oh man, I would only date Christian girls. No, listen, dude. I don't care if they say they're Christian. I don't care what hand they raise, how many times they've been baptized, what church they go to. Don't date females who are not serious about their walk with God and personal purity. And you should be that kind of guy as well. You're serious about your walk with God and your personal purity. Because there's some good girls out there looking for that. With your speech, no gossip. Stop venting online or reacting when triggered. It's so easy to do, right? Don't immediately shoot back with a text or email or a post or a comment on social media. Pause. Take a breath, man. Pray about it. Think it over. Give it a day. You don't have to respond right now. Talk to God. Talk to a godly friend about it. Get their wise counsel. You don't have to respond to every person who ticks you off. Some of them are not worth it. All they're doing, many of them, they're just looking for conflict. You know those kind of people? Some of you are like, a family. They're looking for conflict. They're looking for drama. They're looking to cause discord. Let them go find that elsewhere. Move on. You have better things to do with your life, with your money. Dude, have a budget. No impulsive spending. Know what's coming in and know how it's going out. It's real simple for me. I use an app called Rocket Money to track my finances. Man, it helps. You guys need to earn, save, invest, and give. Man, give a minimum of 10% off everything you make. Back to the work of God, to helping others. It's called a tithe. I know the tithe is not a New Testament command. I know that. But I believe it's a good principle for believers to live by. It's a discipline. For me, it's also a guardrail. And also, guys, live within your means. Stop spending more than you're making. Pay off your credit cards at the end of every month. Get some kind of, like I said, spending tracker app. A great book to read to help you with your money is called The Richest Man in Babylon. I read it years ago. It's a short book, easy to read. It's like a parable. Get that book. With your health, protect your sleep, clean eating, exercise, avoid substances that become crutches, you know, like ways to medicate. Limit your drinking. I stopped drinking about 2 years ago, primarily for health reasons with my heart. I don't like beer, but man, I love bourbon. I had to get it all out of my house. Why? Guardrails, guys. Guardrails. It's part of building the walls of self-control. It's what Jesus meant by cut off your right hand if it causes you to sin. Dude, you have to be willing to do what it takes. This is not legalism to try to earn our salvation or try to earn God's love. Christ already earned our salvation for us. He paid the price. It is finished, paid in full. Tetelestai. We are saved by grace alone. I'm just giving you practical ways to work out your salvation, as the scriptures command us. We're called to become more like Christ, sanctification. And part of that is becoming a self-controlled man. And you can't do that without setting up guardrails, daily disciplines. How else does a Christian man develop self-control? Number four, he lives in brotherhood. He lives in brotherhood. Brothers from other mothers. Isolation kills discipline. Isolation kills godly character. No man becomes strong alone. Connection and confession with godly brothers builds discipline. It builds character. It builds self-control. Iron sharpens iron, right? But only if the irons actually collide. They have to get together. No iron gets sharp by itself. Every man needs brothers who ask the hard questions. How's your purity this week? Did you look at porn? How's your walk with Christ? How's your health and fitness going? How you doing with your spending, your debt? How you doing with your time management? This is what our online climb teams are all about. Men showing up week after week, getting real, getting honest, encouraging each other, challenging each other, and praying for each other. You need brotherhood. And by the way, it won't come find you. You have to go pursue it. Number five, he renews his mind daily. To build your walls, guys, to become a man of self-control, you got to renew your mind daily. Self-control starts in the mind. If your mind is filled with lies, shame, lust, fear, and negativity, your walls will eventually crumble from the inside out. Most battles are won or lost long before your body acts. They're won or lost in your thought life. That's why you have to feed your mind daily with whatever builds strength, character, holiness, not weakness. Scripture, first of all. You need scripture daily. God's truth replacing the enemy's lies. I recently heard from Pastor Josh Howerton that the largest study ever conducted on the effect of the Bible on people's lives was conducted a couple years ago by the Institute for Biblical Research. And they studied the effect of reading the scriptures on somebody's life depending on how many days a week they read it. Here's what they found. If somebody reads the Bible one day a week, it has almost no effect on their life at all. If somebody reads the Bible 2 or 3 days per week, you can see it, but the difference is negligible. But when someone begins reading the Bible at least 4 times a week, that person is 228% more likely to share their faith, 407% more likely to memorize scripture, 59% less likely to view pornography, and 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness, depression, or anxiety. He says, when the word and not the world becomes the majority of your week, your life will start to change. Dude, he is spot on. I like that guy. Listen to good music, guys. Lifting your focus above your flesh in this world. Music can do that. Read solid books, especially biographies of great men worth emulating. Sit under good teaching, doctrine that grounds you and feeds you. Listen to podcasts that call you out and call you up. I know a good one. Romans 12:2 says transformation begins with the renewal of your mind. You'll never live a transformed life without a transformed mind. And you'll never have a transformed mind if you don't feed it daily. Your mind is a garden. If you don't plant truth intentionally, lies will grow automatically. How else does a Christian man develop self-control? Number 6, he overcomes sinful desires with righteous desires. Self-control is not about white-knuckling your way through temptation. It's not pretending you don't want something your flesh has wanted for years. Self-control is not suppression, it's replacement. If all you do is try to stop wanting something like porn, you're going to lose. You know why? Because your heart was created to want, to crave, to desire, to pursue. The issue isn't that your desires are too strong. The issue is that they're aimed at the wrong things. Biblically, the only way to weaken sinful desires is to give your heart stronger desires, better desires. You learn to want God's presence and blessings more than the momentary pleasure of the flesh. You learn to want long-term gains more than the short-term thrills. You learn to want your future wife or your current wife more than a digital fantasy. You learn to want your calling, your ministry, your mission, your integrity more than you want a quick dopamine hit. Here's the truth, guys. Your desires don't disappear, not in this life, not on this side of heaven. It must be redirected. Jesus doesn't just like empty the heart. He fills it. He realigns it. He rewires it. He teaches you to love what is good, not just avoid what is evil. That's why Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's not the Lord will remove your desires. No, he says, I'll transform them. This is how a man becomes dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. His desires shift, his affections shift, his motivations shift, and suddenly the thing that used to lure him loses its grip because something better has taken its place, better desires. You don't beat sin by starving desire. You beat sin by feeding a greater desire for what is good, godly, and worth your life. That's the key. How else does a Christian man develop self-control? Number 7, he fights from identity. Most Christian men try to build self-control by attacking their behavior. when the real battle is happening at the level of identity. Because here's the truth, my brothers. You will always live according to who you believe you are. You will always live according to who you believe you are. Who do you believe you are? If you see yourself as dirty, lazy, broken, unfixable, unlovable, a loser, a failure, the guy who always gives in, the dude who can't stay pure, then your behavior will always follow that script. Shame-driven men keep returning to the same garbage because shame lies to them. Shame tells you this is who you are. This is what you do. It's what you always do. You'll never beat this. You're too far gone. And when a man believes those lies, he caves. Not because he's weak, but because he's misinformed. Your words are powerful, guys. Your inner self-talk is powerful. I've talked about it on this podcast before, the power of your inner self-talk. Be mindful of your inner dialogue and intentional about speaking truth to yourself. Self-control doesn't come from trying harder. It comes from knowing who you are in Christ and fighting from that place. In Christ, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory, from His victory over sin, Satan, and death. You have that in Him. Remind yourself constantly that in Christ, you are loved, Romans 5:8. You are chosen, Ephesians 1:4. You are adopted, Romans 8:15. You are forgiven, Ephesians 1:7. You are empowered, 2 Peter 1:3. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Let it sink in. Most professing Christians have no idea who they are in Christ. And that's one of the biggest reasons they stay stuck or fall deeper into sin. That's why they're getting their asphalt kicked spiritually. Guys, God didn't just forgive you. He redefined you. You're a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He didn't just clean your slate. He changed your status. He didn't just wipe away your past. He gave you a whole new identity. You are His beloved. You're a warrior. You're a saint. You're a son. You're an overcomer. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a joint heir with Christ. I could go on and on. And when a man believes he's a beloved son of God, he starts living like one. He stops treating sin like a pet, and he starts treating it like the freaking poison that it is. He stops acting like a slave. He starts living like a soldier. He stops giving in because he learns, this is not who I am anymore. It's not who I am. Identity-driven men don't fight to earn God's approval. They fight because they know they already have it. They fight from strength, not for it. They fight from grace, not guilt. They fight from acceptance, not desperation, not fear. Shame-driven men give in. Identity-driven men overcome. Because when you know who you are, you stop living like who you were. You get what I'm saying? A man rooted in his identity becomes a man with self-control. Not because he's better, but because he finally believes the truth about who God says he is. To build self-control, fight from your new identity, which means you got to know your new identity. And then here's the last one, guys. How else does a Christian man develop self-control? Number 8. I love this one. He keeps getting up. Man, I mentioned this earlier. This dude won't quit. Brothers, hear me on this. Self-control is not perfection. It's direction. It's not about never failing. It's about refusing to stay down. Every stumble, every relapse, every confession, every restart, every adjustment. If you view it and handle it the right way, it's all part of building the wall. You don't become strong by never failing. You become strong by learning to rise again and again and again. Remember the verse I read earlier? The righteous man in Proverbs 24:16 doesn't stay righteous because he never messes up. He stays righteous because though he falls 7 times, he rises again. 7 isn't a number, it's a mentality, guys. It means as long as it takes. Here's what most men never understand. Failure isn't the opposite of self-control. Failure is often the classroom where self-control is cultivated. Every time you get back up and you own it, you confess it, you learn from it, you make adjustments, your walls get higher. Every time you repent, man, your foundation gets stronger. Relapse doesn't have to be a freaking tombstone. It's not the end. It can be a catapult if you let it. As long as you keep getting up, you learn from it, you make the adjustments. This is something I'm constantly trying to help the guys in our climb teams with. The men who become a threat to the kingdom of darkness are not the men who never fall. They're the men who refuse to quit. G.K. Chesterton said, "A saint is a man who knows he's a sinner and never stops trying." J.C. Ryles said, "The Christian life is a holy struggle, not a smooth run." And Jocko Willink, that great theologian, he puts it so blunt. He says, "You failed? Good. Now you know what to fix." It's the best Jocko voice I got. This is the heartbeat, guys, of cultivating self-control. You fall, you own it, you learn from it, you make adjustments, you rise, you keep climbing. Every brick in your wall is laid with repentance, discipline, humility, and persistence. And here's the truth. Again, the enemy doesn't fear a man who never falls. Those men don't exist. The enemy fears the man who keeps getting back up, the man he can't keep down, the man who won't stay defeated, the man who learns from every failure and comes back stronger. That's the man who builds walls. That's the man who becomes fortified. That's the man who finishes the climb. That's the man whom God uses to change lives. That's the man who stands before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on that day and hears him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Brothers, here's the bottom line. Your life is like a city, and it's going to end up either like Everwind or Stonewatch. Which one's it going to be? You decide. God is not calling you to be perfect. He's calling you to be protected. You protect yourself by cultivating self-control. You build the walls. That means becoming a man who seriously prays, who trains, who is empowered by God's Spirit, a man who sets up guardrails, renews his mind daily, redirects sinful desires toward greater desires, fights from his new identity in Christ, refuses to stay down when he falls. Start building, my brothers, one brick, one habit, one boundary, one guardrail at a time, one honest conversation at a time, one prayer, one act of obedience at a time. Man, you may feel weak, you may feel alone, you may feel behind, but in Christ, guys, you are strong in Christ. You are never alone in Christ. He will never leave you or forsake you. You are never truly behind. Dude, he who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it. So get up. Go grab your trowel and get back to building your wall. I hope and pray that this episode helps you guys. Stay tuned for a few important closing items of Grizz Biz. My brothers, if this episode encouraged you, please copy the link, share it with a friend who needs it. Why would you keep it to yourself? Also, wherever you're listening to the Grizz Podcast, hit that subscribe button, leave us a quick rating and review. And if you'd like to connect with me, my email is in the show notes, jason@narrowtrail.com. Our ministry website is narrowtrail.com. We have a closed Facebook group for Christian brothers called the Grizz Tribe. You are welcome to join that if you're interested. And if you're tired of falling to pornography, if you're tired of trying to fight this battle alone, and you know you need solid biblical guidance, real support, honest accountability, then it's time to take the next step. Fill out the online application for our climb teams. Go to narrowtrail.com and click on the climb team page to learn more. Brother, you don't have to stay in the pit. There's a rope, there's a team, and we're here to help you climb. Also, would you consider making a year-end donation of any amount to help support our nonprofit ministry, Narrow Trail Ministries? We literally wouldn't exist without the generous support of listeners just like you. Your giving helps us keep this podcast going and fuels our online addiction and recovery ministry for Christian men. We are pulling men out of the pit and helping them climb every single week. And if God has used this podcast in your life, if you've been listening for months or even years and it's helped you, encouraged you, if it sharpens you, don't just consume, contribute, man. Come on, man. Don't be that guy. We need your support, not just your listening ears. I purposely don't run a bunch of ads on here because they're annoying, they clutter the message, and I want to trust God to provide through his people. You can give by going to narrowtrail.com, clicking on our give page, or just take your phone and text the word give to 301-888-6860. Thank you, brothers. Your support matters more than you know. Keep me in your prayers. I am still battling through a whole lot right now. Hope to be back at you next week. The Grizz is out.